Good morning. We're doing it slightly differently this morning, in as much as, well, A, you're all staying in and no one's going out. And so if the children start to get a bit fidgety, it's kind of my fault probably for not making it interesting and engaging enough. But we're doing it in two parts as well. So I'm going to do a bit of talking, and then we're going to break and going to have some prayer, and then I'm going to come back and do a bit more talking. That way you don't have to listen to me for too long in one stretch. Hopefully that means you've got more chance of staying awake, maybe. So today we're looking again at kind of Jesus through the eyes of John's Gospel. The title is The Humble Servant. So we're looking at various aspects of kind of Jesus through John. So I wouldn't expect all the kids to probably know who these people are. Some of you might recognise them, some of them you might not. I'd hope that you'd recognise the old guy on the right, maybe. Who knows who the old guy on the right is? Are you? Yeah, I was looking for the kids to respond, but yes, I'll include you as well in that one. All children in God's sight. Thank you, Hazel. Who's the guy in the middle? Any kids know who the guy in the middle is? Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Muhammad Ali. And the lady on the left is Mother Teresa. So who's the odd one out? Who's the odd one out? Any ideas? I guess there's lots of odd ones out, but there's an odd one out in the context of what we're talking about this morning. And those of you who know anything about the guy in the middle will know that he's the odd one out. So Mother Teresa, for those of you who don't know who Mother Teresa was, she was a nun who dedicated her whole life to working with the poor in India, in a place called Calcutta. Muhammad Ali was a very successful heavyweight boxer, and Nelson Mandela was president of South Africa. Although I guess I hadn't quite realised this, but he was only president of that country for 5 years. But, you know, I guess he impacted not only his own country, but kind of a lot of people around the world, way beyond the 5 years he was president. So two of them tried to live their lives humbly. And one of them made out that he wasn't really interested in being all that humble. So these are some quotes that they made. So Mother Teresa said, "Humility is the mother of all virtues, purity, charity, and obedience." A bit of an eye test for me reading it off the screen at the back, but going all right so far. "It's in being humble that our love becomes real, devoted, and ardent." She was a very humble lady. Muhammad Ali, he said, "It's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am." And Nelson Mandela, famously in his autobiography, said, "I stand here before you not as a prophet," some people may have put him on a bit of a high pedestal, "but as a humble servant of you, the people." And there are many stories of throughout his life, really, of just how humble he was in meeting ordinary people. One struck me particularly where there was a famous rock star, I think, that was at Mandela's house, and a journalist who he knew came into the room. And he said to the rock star, "Can I introduce you to my friend Caroline?" And the rock star was kind of a bit taken aback, as kind of, you know, "Shouldn't you be introducing me to her?" But Nelson Mandela was so humble and unaffected by people's status, really, that he was just wanting to introduce his friend to this rock star. So, humility and pride. Which one out of those two am I going to associate with which? No prizes for guessing. And maybe actually not all of you know who the lady is at the top of the picture. A lot of you will, I think. There's a hand at the back waving at me. Who's that? It's Donald Trump at the bottom, yeah. Everyone knows who the Donald is. What about the lady at the top? the lady at the top is Princess Diana, that's right, who is Prince Harry and Prince William's mum, who sadly died in a tragic car crash many years ago, over 20 years ago now. Makes us, those of us who remember it, feel a lot older. But the Donald needs no introduction, does he? So one of them, I think her life was characterised by humility. She wouldn't have put herself forward. She'd always put others forward. Humility, then, it's got kind of little to do with me. It's about I come second. She said when she met Mother Teresa, to Mother Teresa, I'm a very, very small Mother Teresa. She was kind of, I guess, awestruck by Mother Teresa's humility and reflected on herself, although many would see her as being very humble, that she wasn't really anything special. The Donald, on the other hand, well, I'm probably spoiled for choice, really, in terms of things. But he said, it's got, I guess, pride. It's got a lot to do with me. I come first. I'm, like, really smart, you know, and many other things he would have said. But, you know, humility, probably not an adjective you'd kind of associate with Donald Trump. A lot of stuff kind of revolves around him, doesn't it? Revolves around him. So what did Jesus have to say then? Well, Jane and Quentin and Jeff brought to life the passage, hopefully, earlier. Time when Jesus washed the disciples' feet and when Jesus took the place of a servant. But I'd like us to think just for a minute about how Jesus was feeling when this whole episode was taking place. The Passover meal was the day before Good Friday. Jesus knew full well what was about to happen. Everything was kind of falling into place about the various prophecies, and, you know, really significant events were about to take place. He was in the room that the disciples had hired out for them to share the Passover meal, and the food was on the table, the bread, the wine. It was the last meal they were going to share together before Jesus was arrested and tried and crucified. And Jesus' mind was no doubt full of thoughts about those around the table with him as well. Judas was sat there. He was going to betray him that evening. Peter was there. He was going to deny Jesus once, twice, three times the following day. The disciples weren't really aware what was going on, were they? You know, despite Jesus giving them lots of clues. And they hadn't really been on their best form just before the Passover meal. They'd been talking again about which one of them was to be considered the greatest. And the first time this had happened, Jesus had told them very clearly, it's the one who is the least among you who is the greatest. But as usual, the penny hadn't dropped, and it needed another go from Jesus to get the message home. How was Jesus going to respond to their petty squabbling? Come on, stop talking so foolishly. Aren't there more important things that you lot want to talk about? Come on. Is that what it says in John? No, he didn't say anything of the sort, did he? He was a little more patient and graceful and kind and loving and gentle. Maybe that's something to do with the fact that he is the Son of God. He calmly proceeded to show them a visual aid of what greatness means in the kingdom of God. It means thinking less of yourself and thinking more of those around you. So in Roman times, when you arrived at a house for a meal, your feet probably weren't in their most attractive state. I'm sure you've all had a shower or a bath in the last few days and your feet don't look like that. But the disciples, dusty, hot, sweaty, grime from travelling around in sandals. And it was the custom of the day that if you arrived at someone's house, the host would get one of their household slaves to come and wash your feet. Not a Jew, probably. It was probably a non-Jew or a woman who would be expected to wash your feet. The Jews didn't have washing feet in their job description. Except that the room that they were in for the Passover was a hired room, so there weren't any servants. And it was down to Jesus, who'd given everything up in heaven to live on earth. but he didn't consider the job of the servant sort of too lowly for him. And he showed what humility means, getting down on his knees physically. And one by one, the Son of God, the Lord of all creation, who was soon going back to heaven, tenderly washes their feet. And I sort of stopped for a minute when I was kind of thinking about this and thought, wow, you know, that's kind of a series we had a bit earlier, OMG, oh my God. That for me was a bit of an oh my God moment. The disciples were having their feet washed by the Son of God. Did they get it when Jesus was washing their feet? Did they think, oh my goodness? I mean, Peter did, I suppose. Peter's response kind of, whoa, no, you're not washing my feet. But how did they feel? How did the disciples feel when Jesus was washing their feet? And we'll come back to have a think about that a bit later on. So Jesus expresses not only his humility, I'm putting your needs first, not mine. But he also expressed his unconditional love for them, didn't he? He included everyone in that foot washing. He included Judas. He included Peter. Jesus says later on in this same chapter in verse 34, which was, I think, the verse that Russell, you preached on a little while ago, about love. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. It's quite a challenge, isn't it? Or almost an impossible bar set for us in terms of the way we're to love each other. But Jesus' love and humble service was unconditional. It didn't look for anything in return. And it was kind of offered to everyone. And we'll come back to think about what this act of humility means for us in a little while.
So we're going to
this picture is of a lady called Iphigenia, if I can pronounce it, Iphigenia. She lives in a place called Rwanda, a country that had a terrible civil war and many people were killed because two tribes decided they didn't like each other much. Iphigenia was a Tutsi, and during the terrible days of the war, her husband and five children were killed by the mob from the Hutu tribe. And the man you see in the background of this picture is a man called John Bosco Bizimana. And he was one of her neighbours who was in the mob that killed her family. He'd participated in the killing. He'd spent 7 years in prison. And then he went before a tribal court where he'd asked for forgiveness from Iphigenia and the whole community. And she opened up her heart and she forgave her neighbour. But that's not all. Iphigenia was a weaver. She weaved baskets. And she taught her neighbour's wife how to weave baskets. And they became friends and business partners. And on the day she was being interviewed by the lady at CNN, Iphigenia had invited those neighbours into her home and was serving them dinner. She was serving dinner to the man who killed her husband and children, or being a part of the mob that had done that. And when asked how she found it in her heart to forgive, she simply said, "I'm a Christian and I pray a lot." Well, I think it probably required a bit more than prayer, but incredible human expression of humility that is humbling to think about. You know, could I do that? Could I not only forgive, but also serve and humbly love somebody who'd done that to me? Any question? So, how do we show humility in serving our friends and family at work? How do we serve our husbands and wives in humility, our parents, our children, our community? How difficult do we find showing humility in service to those who love us and those who don't love us? Maybe it's easier to show humility in service to those we love more difficult to show humility and service to those we find it difficult to love? And how do we find the thought of humbly serving those who don't love us? Sometimes we find it difficult to serve humbly those we love us, don't we? Let alone those who don't love us. So how's this all going to be possible? How are we expected to live up to this high calling of loving others in this way? Humbly serving in the way that Jesus washed his disciples' feet, I think, needs love, gentleness, patience, grace, kindness, faithfulness. I think the bottom line is, without the Holy Spirit, we're a bit stuffed. You know, we can't expect to be able to live this out without God's Holy Spirit. We need all of those aspects of the fruit of the Spirit to help us when we're being asked to show humility in these situations. It says in 1 Peter, all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favour to the humble. And just thinking about Peter again, how do we feel when we're on the receiving end of someone else's humility? How do we feel when we're on the receiving end of someone trying to be acting in humility towards us? You know, are we like Peter? Do we feel uncomfortable? Oh, no, hang on a minute, you can't do that for me. Or do we feel genuinely touched by their act of love? Do we feel like Peter? Or are we able to accept what's being given to us? Peter didn't say, Lord, this is all wrong. One of us should be doing this for you. And he was actually willing to accept Jesus' act of loving service towards him. Or thinking about it from another angle, how do we feel when what God prompts us to do seems a waste of our skills or is frankly rather dull? How do we feel when God asks us to do something? We think, really? You want me to do that? Or, I'm not sure that's me. I'm not sure, you know, I've got better things to do with my time. Are we too proud? Or are we humble like Jesus and we get on with it? I guess the bottom line here is that we need to leave aside our pride to both give and receive. It's a two-way thing, isn't it? We need to be able to receive someone's humble gift as well as to be able to give. And it requires leaving aside our pride and being humble in both kind of aspects of that. Would you like to know what you need to do to be happy? All of those glum faces out there, would you like to know what it is you need to do to be happy? Don't all respond at once. Deary me.
Yeah, just say, I am happy.
Right, I'm going to tell you. Okay, there's lots of ways that, you know, you can be happy. But actually, there's something in this passage this morning. And if ever there's a question that's been asked 1,000 times, well, this passage this morning gives us an answer. And in verse 15, Jesus says, I've set you an example, washing feet, being humble in service to each other, that you should do as I've done for you. And now that you know these things, and if you act on them, you'll be blessed if you do them. Blessed, you'll be happy. So Jesus is saying, it's really straightforward. He always says it's really straightforward, doesn't he? But it's straightforward in as much as if you follow my teaching, if you do as I've demonstrated, is if you humbly serve each other, then you'll find you're happy through that. You'll find joy through that. You'll find contentment through that. So if you want to be happy, the answer is humbly serve. Anywhere, anyone, anytime, as God leads, as God prompts you. That's the challenge to us this morning. What's God speaking to you about this morning? Is there a situation that God has been prompting you to serve humbly in? And maybe you've just been too proud to get involved, or you thought, oh, that's not for me. Someone else will do that, surely. Something to think about. I'd like to finish this morning just by reading Paul's account of Jesus' humility that we find in Philippians. Jesus was characterized in the passage we looked at this morning by the way in which he washed the disciples' feet and showed humility, but his life was all about humility. It says, reading from verse 5 of Philippians 2, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. So the humble servant Jesus was truly exalted, wasn't he, ultimately, by his willingness to be sacrificial. I guess it's kind of humility on a kind of fairly awesome scale. But Paul's challenge to us is to follow Jesus' example in our relationships with each other. In your relationships with one another, it starts. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Again, it's kind of, Lord, do you really have to set the bar that high? But he does. You know, we're challenged to love each other and to treat each other in the same way that Jesus loved us. The same way that Jesus humbly served the disciples and humbly served all those around him. Graham Kendrick wrote a song. He wrote lots of songs. But this particular song was called The Servant King. And the last verse and chorus had words like this. And it'll be familiar to many of you, I know. But it reads, so let us learn how to serve and in our lives enthrone him. Each other's needs to prefer, for it's Christ we're serving. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. Let's pray. Lord, you've set us a truly wonderful example of humble service. Lord, your whole life was an example of humble service. But in this example, Lord, you've set out today that we've looked at of just simply washing the disciples' feet. You showed us, Lord, that we need to set aside our pride. Be willing to get on our knees, Lord. Be willing to do things that perhaps we thought were beyond us, Lord, or below us. And Lord, through doing these acts of service, Lord, we will find happiness and you will exalt us. Lord, that's a wonderful encouragement. But I just pray, Lord, this morning that you would help us see it all as an act of worship. Because that's what it truly is, Lord. It was an act of worship for you, Lord, to your Father in heaven. And it's an act of worship from each one of us, Lord, when we carry out your will through our hands and our feet and our mouths, Lord. It's an act of worship to you. And as I pray, Lord, as we come towards your communion table, Father, we'll remember just what you gave up for each one of us, Lord, just what your humble act of service represented. And come before you, Lord, this morning and say, we are truly amazed. We stand and sit here in wonder that you would do that for each one of us. Amen.